The scripture this morning is 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and scattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper.
There's been some studies that have come out over the past couple of years about businesses and organizations that are losing money because they're not doing one very significant thing. For example, there was a survey that was done of over 400 businesses, organizations, and corporations, and they determined that on average, every business was losing about $75 million a year because they weren't doing this one significant thing. There was another report that came out where they looked at it in a more global scale, and they were looking at businesses, organizations, and they determined that it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $37 billion that every year is being lost by businesses collectively because they're not doing this one significant thing. Well, what is the one thing that's causing businesses to lose money every year? Well, is it that they're not marketing? No. Is it that they're not innovative? No. Here's the one thing. They're not listening. They're not listening. And when businesses are not listening, when employees are not listening, you have to say things over and over again. You have to have multiple meetings. You got to send multiple emails. You got to send reminders. You got to go back and rehash things that you've already talked about because you forgot that you talked about it. You got to do all this stuff over and over and over again because people aren't listening, and that costs you time and that costs you money. The inability to listen costs. It costs businesses because they can lose money. It can also cost relationships when husbands and wives are not listening to one another. It can cost parents when parents and children are not listening to one another. And it can cost churches when brothers and sisters are not listening to one another. Listening is important. There's a verse in Psalm 40, verse 8, I believe, where the psalmist says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened." Well, that verse in Psalms 40, that phrase, "my ears you have opened," some versions say pierced. Eugene Peterson noticed that the Hebrew verb that's used here to describe the opening of the ears is actually the verb for digging. Digging. Isn't that an interesting concept? That when God wants to open up our ears, what he's got to do is he's got to get a jackhammer to dig into our head so that it will open up. You got to dig our ears open. And I think one of the implications of that is that we are hard-headed. We are hard-headed people. And when you're hard-headed people and someone's got to dig into your head for you to have your ears open, it shows us that we are not very good at listening. And when you're not good at listening, it costs us in so many different ways. And if we're going to be a church that's a healing presence in the heart of the city, which is our theme for the year, a critical part of being a healing presence is being able to listen. Being able to listen. Because listening brings healing. Listening brings help to someone. And so if we're going to be able to heal people and to be able to show the love of Christ to people, we've got to be able to listen. And so this morning and next Sunday, I want to spend two lessons talking about listening. And where I want to start is I want to start in a text in 1 Kings 19. And so if you have your Bibles, please open them to 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's look at this text together. 1 Kings 19 comes on the heels of the greatest chapter in Elijah's ministry of 1 Kings 18. So if you remember back to this summer, I preached about Elijah and Elisha, and how they were two prophets who came to Israel at a time when Israel was feeling like they were in a desert, and Elijah and Elisha came with the message that God's still here. And the greatest point in Elijah's ministry was 1 Kings 18, because that's where the contest happened at Mount Carmel, where Elijah set up an altar, and the prophets of Baal set up an altar, and he prayed about it, and God sent fire down that burned up the sacrifice, and the people all saw it, and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God," and they chased after the prophets of Baal and killed all of them. It was this incredible victory. And then right after that, Elijah prays for rain to come, and even though there had not been rain for 3 years, he prays about it, and he sees a cloud, and he gets so excited because rain's coming that he outruns a chariot being drawn by a horse. It was this incredible moment of ministry for Elijah. He must have been on top of the world at 1 Kings 18. Well, then we turn the page to 1 Kings 19, and we learn that there's one person who was not at Mount Carmel who really needed to be in Mount Carmel, because this one person had authority and this one person had power, and this one person needed to know that the Lord, He is God, and that person was Jezebel. And when Jezebel hears what's happened at Mount Carmel, she does not choose to repent. She chooses to get angry. And she says, "I'm going to do whatever I can to find Elijah and to get rid of Elijah." And when he hears this decree from the queen that he's going to be chased after and that there is a desire for him to be executed, Elijah panics. He panics. And at one moment, he is way up high, and he's feeling emotions of joy and enthusiasm and victory. And all of a sudden, when he hears the news from Jezebel, he goes to a very big low, and he feels despair, and he feels fear, and he feels defeat. A roller coaster of emotions. Have you been on that roller coaster of emotions this year, 2020? Where one day, I think we can make it. Next day, I don't think I can make it. That's where Elijah was. And so he runs. He runs. When you're scared, you run. He goes off into the desert. He gets by himself, finds a little place under a broom tree, and he begins to pray, and he says, "Lord, I want to die." Have you ever prayed that prayer before? "Lord, I want to die. I can't take it anymore. The emotions are too great. I'm too discouraged. I'm too defeated. I just take me now." He was depressed. And here we see a little picture into the compassion of God, because in the midst of Elijah's depression, God comes. When you're depressed and you cry out to God, God comes. And he comes in the form of an angel. And the angel comes and does three things for Elijah. Number one, he helps Elijah rest. Tucks him in at night so he can get a good night rest. Number two, the angel gives Elijah some food and some drink. And then number three, he touches Elijah. What are the three things you need to do when you're depressed? Get some rest, eat a good meal, and be touched, be hugged. And that's what happens to Elijah. And after that, he starts to feel a little bit better. And he makes a decision that what he's going to do next is he's going to go to Mount Horeb. Now, Mount Horeb was a very important mountain in the Old Testament. It's sometimes called Sinai. That might ring a bell to you, Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, God delivers the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. Also at Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, that's where Moses saw the burning bush, where he received his call in the book of Exodus as well. And so this is a very important mountain. And Elijah decides that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that mountain. Now, scholars are divided on exactly why Elijah wanted to go to Mount Horeb and what he was trying to do there. And maybe one reason is because he was starting to think that maybe I'm the next Moses. I mean, after all, like Moses was a leader to the people of Israel, I'm a leader to the people of Israel. And like Moses did miracles for the people, I've done miracles for the people. And like Moses witnessing the rebellion of Israel, I've witnessed the rebellion of Israel. And so I'm the next Moses, and Moses went to Horeb to meet God, and so I'm going to go to Horeb to meet God. Maybe that's what Elijah's thinking. And so he makes this trek of 40 days and 40 nights to go to Mount Horeb to meet the Lord. And he goes, and he finds himself a cave, and he gets inside of that cave, and God comes to him, and God comes with the most strange question. Elijah, what are you doing here? You know, what if that happened to us? What if our youth group decided we're going to go on a retreat? And so we find a camp that we're going to have the retreat at, and we make a reservation, and then we tell everybody what we're going to do, and we have our schedule, and everybody packs up and signs up, and we head out in vans, and we go out to the camp, and we put everything away, and we set up our campfire. We're going to sit around the campfire as our youth group, because we're going to meet God. And so we're sitting there around the campfire, and God comes to our youth group and says, what are you doing here? That would be kind of a bummer, wouldn't it? Well, that's what happens to Elijah. Well, I'm here to meet you, God. Why? Why are you here, Elijah? And Elijah responds by giving this sad tale. Well, God, I've tried to be faithful to you. I've tried to be a good prophet for you. I've done the best I could. But nobody's really listened to me. Nobody's been following my sermons. Nobody's been logging on to my Zoom Bible classes. And it's just all been really difficult. And he goes on to all these problems that he's been having. And he says, and I'm the only one left. I'm the only faithful prophet left, God. And so I'm here to see you. I think Elijah was suffering a little bit from an overinflated ego, but he also was weary and he was downtrodden. And so he wants to see God. And so God says, what I want you to do is I want you to go stand up, stand on the mountain, because I'm going to pass by. Now, when God says this, it reminds Elijah, and it should remind all of us, of Exodus 33. Exodus 33 is when Moses was on Mount Horeb. And when Moses was on Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, God said, Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, okay, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, I'm going to cover you with my hand, and I'm going to allow my back to pass by. And Moses has this incredible moment where he sees the glory of God. And so when Elijah hears this from God, he's thinking, oh boy, here we go. Just like Moses, I'm going to get to see the glory of God. I can just see it right now. I'm going to be shining coming off this mountain. I'm going to go back to Israel, and Jezebel's going to hide from me because I'm going to be so bright and so shiny. It's going to be great. Elijah thinks that God's getting ready to do something really big. God's getting ready to do something really small. Elijah thinks God's going to do something really loud. God's going to do something very soft. Elijah thinks that God's going to do something magnanimous. God's getting ready to do something very calm. In Exodus chapters 19 and 20, when God's people were at Mount Sinai at Horeb, God comes, and it's incredible. There's thunder. There's lightning. The mountain shakes. There's wind. There's fire. It's this incredible display of God's power to the point that the people of Israel say, we don't want to go there. Moses, you go up to Mount Sinai. We don't want to be where God is. It was that scary. And what's amazing is that in 1 Kings 19, the same things happen. That there's a tornado, a huge wind. The ground shakes. The mountain shakes. There's fire. But what's different here is that in all of those incredible displays, God is not there. This is not Mount Sinai of old. This is not even Mount Carmel of 1 Kings 18. This is something different. Instead, it says that there is this gentle whisper. And the Lord is in that. Now, I want to talk about that phrase, gentle whisper, for a second. Because actually, that is not a great translation of that phrase. King James Version uses still small voice. That's not a great translation either. There's three words used in that phrase, and I'm going to explain them to you. One of the words means voice or sound. One of the words means tiny or small. And then the third word, the most important word, it's dhamma, and it means silent. The sound of tiny or sheer silence. That's what happens, and the Lord's in that. Now, whenever I see this phrase, I want to start singing Simon and Garfunkel's song, The Sound of Silence. What does that mean? That he heard the sound of sheer silence. What does that mean? That there's wind and there's an earthquake and there's fire, but God's not in all that. But then there is the sound of sheer silence and the Lord's in that. What is that? What's going on here? You know, back in Genesis 1 in the story of creation, it says that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What did that sound like? Have you ever thought about that? Was it like a PA announcer? Let there be light. Boom. Was it like a politician? Let there be light. Was it singing? C.S. Lewis thought it was singing. Or was it a whisper? Let there be light. Is that what's happening here? Elijah. Sound of sheer silence. One writer said that maybe what's going on here is that God takes up all of the noise in the world and removes it, and Elijah hears what's left. The sound of sheer silence. What's going on here? What's God doing here? Why does he come and meet Elijah at Horeb with this sound of sheer silence? Well, Adam McHugh, in his book, The Listening Life, which I would highly recommend, he says, I think what's going on here is that God is trying to give to Elijah a divine stop. That here's Elijah, and he is this bundle of emotions. He's way up, and then he's way down. And one moment he's praying, Lord, take my life. Another moment he's saying, I'm going to be like the next Moses. He's looking for the fire. He's looking for the thunder. He's looking for the lightning. And God says, stop. Stop. And listen. Listen. Because what Elijah needed in that moment was he needed to be still. And he needed to listen. Because God understood that if Elijah could just stop and be still and listen, God would bring healing to his soul. Maybe that's what we need to. Dallas Willard, in one of his books, he said that the most transformative and most radical spiritual discipline for those who are in the West, that's us, people in North America, is silence. The most transformative and powerful spiritual discipline is silence. Why would he say that? Because in North America, what we are all about is we are about action. We're about getting things done. We're about being task-oriented. We're about, what is our to-do list for today? And let's make sure that we're checking it off. We're about productivity. We're about outcomes. We're about looking, what have I done? What have I accomplished? And so whenever we have to stop and be still and listen to the sound of silence, that is incredibly hard for us to do. Our whole bodies resist it because we need to be doing. We need to be moving. We need to be going. We need to be feeling. And yet sometimes what God wants of us is to just stop and listen. Maybe that was one of the unexpected blessings of 2020. That back in April, everything stopped. Everyone had to go home and be in their homes. Maybe it allowed some of us to listen. Do you remember the story in Matthew 17, the transfiguration? The story where Jesus goes up on a mountain and he's transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and his clothes become white and dazzling. There's this cloud that envelops Jesus, and Moses is there, and Elijah's there, and it's just an incredible moment where Peter, James, and John get to see the glory of Christ. Do you remember what happened next? Peter started talking, because whenever Peter gets nervous, doesn't know what to do, he starts talking. Anybody else like that? He says, Lord, this is good for us to be here. Let's build a temple for you, and let's build a temple for Moses, and let's build a temple for Elijah. I mean, we can invite people here, and they can worship you, and we can charge admission, and we can make some money, and we can, the wheels are turning. And you remember what happens next? It says, go back and read it, Matthew 17, verse 5. It says, while he was speaking, a voice from the cloud spoke. Sometimes God interrupts people. While he was speaking, a voice from the cloud speaks, and it says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Stop talking, Peter. And listen. Stop. And listen. And that's what God was saying to Elijah. Well, nobody thinks so. Nobody's listening to my sermons, and nobody's logging on to my Bible classes, and nobody's following you, Lord. I'm the only one that's left. Stop. And listen. One of the reasons why Elijah really needed to do that is because Elijah was in the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness, you really need to listen to God. But the amazing thing about this story in 1 Kings 19 is that here is Elijah, and he's in the wilderness, and he's a mess of emotions, and yet God comes to him, and God meets him there. Right after this moment where he hears the sound of sheer silence, God comes to him again and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah basically says the exact same thing that he said earlier, which makes us think, Elijah, have you learned anything through this whole experience? But right after that, God says, here's what I want you to do, Elijah. I want you to go back. I want you to anoint three people. And this is going to help with all the problems in Israel. And one of those three people that I want you to anoint is Elisha, who's going to carry on your ministry. Now, there are some scholars who think, well, maybe God is firing Elijah here, saying you're relieved of your duties because you're so depressed. Or there's other scholars who think, well, no, God's just helping out Elijah. He's giving someone that he can mentor, that can carry on his ministry. Whatever's going on here, the point is still the same. In this moment, as Elijah stops and listens and is in the presence of God, God heals Elijah. Doesn't change his circumstances, but he changes Elijah. And right after that, Elijah gets up. He leaves the mountain, and he obeys because he's listened. And so now he's ready to be obedient. Church, here's what this means for us. Right now, we're in the middle of a wilderness. 2020 is a wilderness. It's not just a wilderness for us, it's a wilderness for everyone around us. And in a wilderness, in a time of difficulty, what we need to do is we're looking for that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. And what we really need to be doing is we need to be stopping, and we need to be silent, and we need to listen. And if we'll stop, and if we'll be silent in the midst of the wilderness, God will come, and he will meet us here, and he will speak into our lives in incredible ways, and it'll give us healing, and it'll give us clarity, and it'll prepare us to leave the mountain and go be obedient. If you want to be a healing presence, you can't give that unless you have it. And you can only have it unless you've been willing to be still and to be silent and listen. That's what we need to be doing right now. Listening to God, listening to the sound of sheer silence. So here's my challenge to all of us, those that are watching online and those that are here, is that this week, every day this week, take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I know you got 5 minutes in your day, and I want you to take 5 minutes. I want you to get by yourself, and I want you to be still, and I want you to be silent, and I want you to listen. And maybe that'll be a transformative 5 minutes, maybe not, but I guarantee you, if you do it every single day for 7 days, next Sunday when we come back, your heart will be calmer, it'll be gentler, you will have more clarity, you will have more healing in your life, and you will be more ready to be obedient to the Lord. Do I get an amen on that? 5 minutes. And what better way to end this lesson than to put into practice what I've been talking about? And so for the next minute or two, I want us to be still. And I want us to be listen. That's going to be a little bit awkward, and that's okay, but we can do this. I want you to be still and silent before the Lord. And here's how I want you to do this. I want you to pray this prayer in your mind as we do it. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's the prayer of Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And whenever your mind drifts away, as it's always going to do, just come back to that prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Can you do that with me? And then I'll close this in prayer. Let's take a minute or two, and let's listen to the sound of sheer silence. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Lord, just in this brief minute and a half to 2 minutes, there is something very healing about being calm and being still. We identify with Elijah, Lord. We're a bundle of emotions, and one day we're feeling great. Another day, we're feeling lousy. Some days, we're thinking a little bit too highly of ourselves. And some days, we're maybe thinking a little too lowly of ourselves. Some days, we're weary and discouraged and just depressed. Some days, maybe we're feeling good. And Lord, in the midst of it all, teach us to stop and to listen. Because when we quiet the noise of our world, you have something to say to us. And as we're in the wilderness, we really need to listen to you. Help us to hear. Help us to be still. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. It's amazing that sometimes the most convicting moments can be when you're silent, where God can bring something to you in that moment of silence, an issue, a sin, a certain situation, and he can just convict you of it and lay it on your heart. Maybe that's happened to you in the last 2 minutes. Maybe God did something in your heart in that moment that's much bigger and deeper than even what was said in the sermon. And I want you to know that we're here to minister to you and with you. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to have, I'm going to be up here. We're going to have some elders up here. And if God laid something on your heart during that time of silence, convicted you of something that needs to be prayed about, something that needs to be shared, something that's worrying you, bothering you, that you need to put in God's hands, let us know. Let us know about that. Maybe the Lord is convicting you about being baptized. Let us know about that too, because we want to help you be baptized. If we can help you to draw closer to God, find healing in him, please come now as together we stand and sing.